Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
Psychiatrist Dr. Scott Peck did not believe in the devil. But he was an open-minded scientist willing to have his mind changed. If, quote, to use his word, he says, if I could see one good old-fashioned case of demon possession, I would believe in the devil. Well, be careful what you ask for. He saw good old-fashioned demon possessions in his therapy practice time and time again. In 2005, he wrote a book called Glimpses of the Devil, where Dr. Peck offers scientific evidence for the existence of the devil based upon his personal encounters with demons and demonic exorcisms with his clients. Peck, who was once a skeptic, who didn't believe in the devil, says, quote, I now know Satan is real because I've met him. 2014, I was a PhD student in Louisville, Kentucky, staying in a hotel room there one night by myself. And in the middle of the night, I was awakened by a tangible heaviness. I opened my eyes. There was a dark black figure over me, pushing down on my chest where I couldn't breathe. It was as real as I'm real standing here with you today. I immediately knew in my spirit it was evil. And so I began crying out with all that I could, praying in the name of Jesus to be protected. This thing would leave me alone. It felt like 30 minutes of prayer. It was probably 30 seconds or less until it was gone. So I woke up, turned on the lampstand by the hotel room bed, lying in a pool of sweat, never went back to sleep, left the lights on, and whatever I experienced that night, this I know for sure, I was in the presence of evil. The first prayer most of us learn, the Lord's Prayer. You would think that in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus would give us the most basic understanding of what we need to pray about. It's the prayer we've prayed more than any other prayer. But do we forget? Jesus said, end your prayers with these words in Matthew 6:13. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is basic, elementary, fundamental Christianity prayer. When you pray, pray to be delivered from the devil. Jesus wouldn't tell us to pray to be delivered from the evil one if there was not an evil one we needed to be delivered from. When was the last time you prayed, oh Lord, deliver me, deliver my family, deliver my grandchildren, deliver my marriage, deliver my church from the evil one? The Bible teaches there's an unseen realm. There's an invisible cosmic battle taking place all around us. And if we could see it, we'd be on our knees right now calling out to the name of Jesus. And so as we enter week 38 of our verse-by-verse study of the book of Ephesians, we conclude with three messages in Ephesians on this subject of spiritual warfare. It's how Paul concludes the letter. Paul writes in chapter 6, verse 10, finally, in other words, okay, I'm coming to the end of the letter to you, church at Ephesus. Finally, here's the last thing I want you to remember on the way out the doors. Be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle, church, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. This is not Mayberry. This is not Hollywood. This is not Friday after five. The Bible says this is war. I love watching war movies. Some of the more modern war movies, the audio visual is so advanced, you feel like you're in the battle, especially if there's surround sound. You hear the bullets whizzing by your head. Believers, we are in a spiritual war zone, the Bible says. But the bullets aren't from AK-47s. The bullets are from the devil himself. If you'll skip down in our text to verse 16 of Ephesians 6, Paul says, in every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. We may not see or hear the bullets, the flaming arrows, but the Bible says they're flying all around us in every situation. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That word wrestle there in the Greek literally means hand-to-hand combat. This word wrestle is not a passive struggle. It's not a theoretical struggle. It's an active, close quarters, hand-to-hand fight. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Paul uses the word against five times in verse 12 alone. The Greek word against here implies an intense, direct confrontation. In verse 12, the evil rulers are against us. The demonic authorities are against us. The cosmic powers over this present darkness are against us. The spiritual forces of evil are against us. Five times in one verse. Beloved, we have an enemy. If you're breathing this morning, you are facing direct opposition from the dark side. This is not theoretical, this is real. There are literally dark spiritual forces coming against you. Christian, do you ever feel like nothing ever comes easy? Do you ever feel like there's this invisible force that lives to make your life difficult? Are you trying to overcome a particular sin, but the temptation just won't stop coming? Why do the depression and the bad thoughts just keep coming back? Why do we begin questioning our faith one day out of the blue? Like, where'd that come from? For those of us that are married, why is marriage always so hard? Why in our parenting is there always a challenge with at least one of our kids at a given time? Like, can we ever just have a day when everybody's great? You laugh because you know what I'm talking about. Why does it feel like somebody is always sick? When we're trying to get ahead financially, why is there always another unexpected bomb that drops? A few weeks ago, you know, when we had that crazy cold front, it was like 6 degrees and miserable. Okay. So for some reason, I was at home that day working on my Christmas sermon, and it was like 5-6 degrees outside. And all of a sudden, our water heater explodes. It's probably not the right word, but I'm not mechanical, so I was going to say it exploded. Sounds more intense. all at one time, our water heater explodes and our furnace goes out at the exact same time. Like, what are the odds of that? As I'm trying to write a Christmas sermon about the glory of Christ, so I got to put the sermon down. I'm calling plumbers. I'm calling, you know, all the different people you call when water heaters and furnaces explode. Coincidence or warfare? What about this one? When you're trying to come to church on a Sunday morning, why does sometimes it feel like it's a war to get here? You ever gotten a fight with your spouse on Saturday night or Sunday morning? Your kids ever lose their mind on a Sunday morning? You ever had a dead battery in your car on a Sunday morning? Why does it feel like it's sometimes war to get to church? The Bible would say because it is war. The Bible says there are principalities and powers actively coming against us. And so in Ephesians 6, Paul is urging Christians to prepare ourselves for battle. Verse 12, take up, be proactive, do something, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared everything to take your stand. So Paul says in verse 13, get prepared because the evil day is coming. How many of you have seen the movie The Purge? Sinners. I can't recommend it, but in theory, you know, if you had no conscience and you had seen the movie, just joking, I actually saw the first one and whatever, but. Essentially, it's a movie where the federal government, for one day every year, the federal government throws out all the laws. And so for one whole night, I think it starts like at 6 p.m. through the following morning at 6 a.m., anybody can do whatever they want. All the bad guys can come out. They can rob, they can kill, they can steal. No rules, no laws, no cops, anything goes. What if we knew a purge was coming to Owensboro, Kentucky tonight? What would you do? If you knew that tonight at 6 p.m., anybody could do anything to you and your family with no repercussions. We'd get our homes boarded up. We'd get extra locks on the doors. We'd get the most advanced security system. We'd be sitting at the front door armed and ready. We'd be taking target practice with granddaddy's rifle. We'd be on our knees all afternoon as a church praying God's protection over our families. Because if we knew that the enemy was coming to our house tonight, we're not going to get caught sleeping. Nobody's watching Netflix this afternoon. We're not worried about the NFL game. We would be up. We would be ready. We would be praying so that when the enemy gets to our house tonight, he's going to get dealt with because we are prepared to fight. Brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us that a real enemy is coming. Who can't just kill the body, but who can try to kill a soul. And verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. It's not a question of if, it's only a question of when they come for you and your family in this church. Church, God is saying through the text, wake up and put on your fighting clothes. Look at all of the preparatory language Paul uses in the text, verse 10. He says, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Why do we need to be strengthened in the Lord for the spiritual battle? So we don't get knocked out when the devil comes. If you're gonna do a triathlon, some of you have, you're gonna get in shape first. You're gonna work out. You're gonna get strong. You're gonna build up your endurance. because you know that the triathlon is going to eat your lunch if you're not strong and in shape. Paul is saying today, go to the Lord's gym. Get strong in the Lord. Why? Because the enemy is coming and you're about to endure a spiritual triathlon. Some of us this morning, y'all, are in such bad spiritual shape, we couldn't whip a rabbit, much less an army of demons. Paul, knowing this, says in verse 11, put on the full armor of God. He's using imagery here of a Roman soldier. Why do you put on the full armor of God? So that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. The question is not, is the enemy coming for you and your family and your marriage and your kids and your business and your finances and your church and your sanity and your faith? The question is not, is he coming for you? The question is, will you be able to stand when he comes? So over and over again in the text, Paul says things like stand, be ready to resist and stand. Some of us are wearing spiritual pajamas as we come into 2026. And it's time we put on our fighting clothes. Putting on the spiritual armor is so important. Paul says it in back-to-back verses. In verse 11, he says, put on the full armor of God. Now, verse 12, he says, you are going against evil spiritual forces in the heavens for this reason. He's going to say the same thing again. Anytime in Scripture you see reiteration, he's like highlighting, he's bolding it, he's underlining, it's all caps. He's trying to get our attention. Take up the full armor of God. I'm telling you, he says, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared everything. Like, we got friends that live in South Florida and hurricanes are coming through, right? Like, they're getting boarded up. They're preparing. They're getting food. They got the generator ready. Like, you get prepared when it's going to go down. Paul says you got to have everything prepared to take your stand. Stand, therefore. Paul says you better not be sitting on the recliner when the devil comes to your house. You better not be asleep on the couch when the bad guys show up. You better be ready to stand. You better be like one of my favorite Christmas movies, Home Alone, Kevin McAllister, right? He knows Marv and Harry are going to show up that night at 9 p.m., to rob the house. So what does Kevin do? He gets his little BB gun locked and ready. But more than that, he fills the whole house with booby traps. He's prepared. He's ready. He's got a plan. Paul says in verse 13, Christian, you better get prepared. Because we got a bigger problem than Marv and Harry. There's a real enemy with real demons. He says, you better be locked, loaded, and ready, so that you can stand when they show up. But you see, Kevin knew Marvin Harry were coming at 9 p.m. Devil doesn't tell us what time he's coming. Paul just says, you gotta be ready to stand in the evil day. There are unique days and seasons every Christian will face wherein we're in an unusual season of attack. There are seasons in your life where it'll simmer down. Like, oh, you know, nothing crazy's happening. 10 minutes, we're good. Or maybe weeks or months. Like, hey, we're in a good season. But that's when we put our guard down. Because if you're not currently in an evil day, it's coming. So this is why Paul says, back in 18, verse 18, he says, pray at all times in the Spirit. All times. Never take a day off from prayer. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. And stay alert. Jesus says in Luke 12, stay awake. Stay alert with all perseverance. Sometimes the most holy thing you can do is not sleep at night, but stay up all night praying for somebody. I had a brother just a few minutes ago who's really sick right now. He's facing cancer, and he pulled me aside and he said, "Pastor Jameis, I want you to know every morning at 2 a.m. and 3 a.m., I'm praying for you." And he had no idea, but around 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. every night for 2 weeks, crazy stuff's been happening in my house. You see, you got to stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Paul says, we don't just got to watch our own back, y'all. We got to watch one another's back. We got to intercede for one another. We got to fight not against each other. We got to fight for one another. There's no time for bickering and arguing and bitterness in the body of Christ. We're family. Your spouse is not your enemy. Your parent is not your enemy. Your fellow church members are not your enemy. The devil is the enemy. So some of us got to get over some stuff, y'all. We got to forgive one another so that we can get on to the real battle. Because let me tell you, if we're fighting one another, you ain't got a chance in France in the fight against hell. So Paul says in verse 18, stay alert with all perseverance. Some of us need to put down our phones and stop all the scrolling on social media, me included. And we need to pick up a pair of spiritual binoculars so that we can see the enemy when he's on his way. Be watchful, be alert, stay awake. Peter says it like this, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Notice Peter says Satan is on the offense. Satan ain't sitting back and waiting. Satan is not complacent. The devil is not apathetic. He is intentional. He is proactive. He is always scheming and conniving and masterminding grand plans to destroy. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against what? The schemes of the devil. In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says the same thing. He says, Satan's got schemes. Satan's not random. He's not flippant. He's intentional. He's a schemer. He's a planner. Believer, it's as though our name is on a hit list in hell. I want you to picture a big boardroom. It's a whiteboard. There's a big, you know, fancy table in the middle, leather chairs. Maybe there's a board meeting in the cosmic places right now where a group of demons are having a conversation about how to take you down. Your marriage, your family, your ministry, your business, your integrity, your soul, your church. Satan's got schemes. That's why Paul says in verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, and we'll do more with this over the next couple of weeks. Today, I'm just kind of giving you like a 30,000-foot flyover. Next few weeks, we'll dig into some of the details more. But when Paul says in verse 11, put on the full armor of God, I've read 1,000 commentaries on this. Really, I think what he's saying is, put on Christ. The way you fight against the devil is by clothing yourself in Jesus, the true warrior king. There are going to be 6 pieces of armor in verse 10 through 20 that Paul's going to list. He's going to go from head to toe, from a helmet down to shoes, belt in between, breastplate, all that a Roman soldier would have worn. All 6 of those pieces of armor are fulfilled in Jesus. For example, Jesus is the truth we put around our waist. Jesus is the helmet of our salvation. Jesus is the breastplate of our righteousness. So listen, we don't fight hell in our own power. We fight hell in the power of the name above every name, the name and the authority of Jesus. So if we're not going to get knocked out, which many have, there are people that used to be among us that are no longer among us. And it ain't because they went to the church down the road. It's because they got took out by the devil and they're in no church today. And they have no faith left. A casualty of the dark side. Because they thought this stuff was games. They didn't think the enemy was real. They didn't think the church was important. They didn't think reading the word of God was important and repenting of sin was important and communion was important. And they got took out. So if we're not going to get taken out by the enemy, we got to walk real close to Jesus. You got to be so close in your personal relationship with Jesus, it's as though you're putting him on. Because when we start drifting from Jesus, we become a much easier target for the enemy, don't we? When we start messing around with sin, we're going to talk about this in the next couple of weeks, the greatest way to open yourself up to demonic attack is through sin. When we start holding on to bitterness. Scripture says in Ephesians 4:26, if you hold on to bitterness, you give a foothold to the devil. Some of you are wondering right now, and this is not in my notes, this is just, trust maybe the Holy Spirit. Some of you are wondering right now why your marriage feels like it's hell. And it's because the enemy has slid in, and the open door you gave him was bitterness. Oh, when he finds a bitter situation, oh man, he is on that like a cheap suit. How do you open up demonic attack? It's when you start flirting with somebody that's not your spouse or somebody else's spouse. It's when you start drinking again or drinking in excess. It's greed, it's materialism, it's unresolved conflict with a family member or a church member. It's discord with other Christians. It's when we start messing around with sin, when our prayer life starts to dwindle, when we're not reading God's word and soaking it in, and here's a big one, when we get disconnected from the body of Christ, we start skipping church, we start skipping out a small group, we begin to isolate from Christian community. Oh man, you let your guard down, we're a sitting duck. And I've seen it too many times as a pastor. I don't want to see any more casualties in our church to the devil. I'm sick of it. And so no wonder Paul says in verse 18, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Parents, if we knew a killer was coming for our kids tonight, I wouldn't be able to finish this sermon until every parent in this room would be fighting for a place right down here to kneel before God, begging God's protection over our children. The word of God says a killer is coming. John 10, Jesus said, the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. A monster is coming, and the monster has a name. In verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. That is his name. The word devil comes from his Greek title, diabolos, which means slanderer. More on that in a few weeks. His name is Satan in the Old Testament Hebrew, which means adversary. Who is the devil? He is the serpent in Genesis 3. He is the dragon in Revelation 12. He is the tempter in Matthew 4. He's the evil one in Matthew 13. He's the ruler of the world in John 12. He's the little g, God of this age in 2 Corinthians 4. He's the father of lies, John 8. He's Beelzebul, Matthew 10. He is the deceiver who disguises himself as an angel of light in 2 Corinthians 11. He's the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2. He's the killer in John 10. A killer is coming. A serpent is hissing. A dragon dragon is breathing fire. A roaring lion is on the prowl seeking someone to devour. A wise person does not wait for the enemy to show up to get ready for the battle. A wise person is prayed up, loaded up, and ready before the enemy ever shows up. A few weeks ago, I'd been preparing for these messages, known these were coming for a while. Our family had been talking about, praying about spiritual warfare. Our kids are old enough now to understand that when daddy preaches on stuff like this, daddy is picking a fight with the devil. Our kids get that. It's part of being a PK. Middle of the night, exact same time, Annie and Ellie shoot up out of the bed. They hear very obvious and pronounced heavy footsteps in the house. So loud, they heard the footsteps over the blasting noise-making sound machines they sleep with. We all sleep with them. We're all very needy people in our house with very, very high-maintenance sleepers. You do not want to travel with us. We got like lotions and creams and pills and vitamins and machines and noises and all this stuff. So they hear these very obvious and loud pronounced footsteps. They turn on all the lights, walk the house, nothing. Okay. Next night, middle of the night, I'm dead asleep. I too blasted my own rainmakers. I'm awakened too by very loud and obvious footsteps throughout the house. Like the way our house is, you can hear footsteps over top of you. And I'm like, okay, like this crew's up in the middle of the night. Like what the heck's happening? Like why is there like a stampede in my house at 2 a.m.? Wake up, turn on the lights, walk the house, nothing. But it was something. Either that or I had one too many peanut butter balls, which is possible because it was right before Christmas. I shouldn't even make light of that because in all seriousness, over the past couple of weeks, lights going off and on their own, doors opening and closing on their own. Like, I'm not making this stuff up. Like, I got better things to do than come up here and try to, like, lie to y'all. Terrible, murderous nightmares experienced by multiple family members. More than one night, I've woken up shouting the name of Jesus, waking up my entire family. But here's what happens. Fear. Honest to goodness, I was like, maybe I'll just skip this part of Ephesians or ask somebody else to preach it. Like, I'll go on vacation or something. Look, life is stressful enough as it is without trying to voluntarily pick a fight with hell. And so there's been some fear for me and my family. And look, one of the devil's greatest tactics is to try to make you afraid. Brothers and sisters, though, we must not be afraid. 2 Timothy 1, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The most repeated command in the whole Bible is do not be afraid. Roughly 365 times, one for each day of the year. Don't be afraid. The devil is real. Yes, he's coming. Yes, we should be prepared. Yes, but do not fear, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And this is why I love how Paul begins this section on spiritual warfare. Before he gets into the devil and the demons, look at what he says in verse 10. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his what? Vast strength. We ain't fighting this battle on our own strength. We are fighting the battle in the Lord's strength. And let's not forget how strong the Lord is. Paul says in verse 12, it's the Lord's vast strength. Ain't nobody stronger than Jesus. Brothers and sisters, sometimes what the devil forgets is that when he picks a fight with us, he is picking a fight with God. And our God ain't afraid to fight. Exodus chapter 15, Isaiah 42, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. The Lord advances like a warrior. He stirs up zeal like a soldier. The Lord shouts. The Lord roars aloud. He prevails over his enemy. The enemy is big. The enemy is strong. But our God is bigger and our God is stronger. Our God is the one who speaks and it comes to be. Our God is the one who splits the Red Sea. Our God is the one who raises the dead. Child of God, don't you fear the devil. God's got your back. And when it comes to the devil, by the way, Jesus ain't playing games. 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus comes to tempt. We're going to start the book of Mark here in the next few months. We're going to walk through Mark's gospel verse by verse, and you're going to see the theme all throughout Mark. Every day, Jesus is casting out demons all the time. Jesus said in Matthew 12, if you see me casting out demons by the Spirit of God, you know the kingdom of God is upon you. The kingdom of God is characterized by the authority of Jesus over the devil and the demons. Jesus didn't just come to save sinners. Jesus came to kill the devil. And Christ's most decisive blow against the enemy came at the cross. Look at verse 17 of our text. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Paul says in verse 17, the sword of the Holy Spirit is the word of God. So when we read scripture, when we speak scripture out loud, when we meditate and recite scripture, we are swinging a sword at the demons. You overcome spiritual warfare with the Bible in your hands and the Word of God in your heart. Y'all want to practice right now? All right, what I'm going to do is read scripture about Jesus' defeat of Satan at the cross. But I want you all, church, to read the underlined portions of scripture with me out loud like you're swinging at the devil, because you are. And so when you read these words, read them like a warrior. All right, in fact, let's go ahead and stand together. We're going to practice some spiritual warfare here. Love to ask our music team to come on out. We're not done, so don't check out. I still got a couple minutes left, but we're going to read these verses with authority and power. Here we go, Colossians chapter 2. Speaking of Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Now read with me. Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Christ. Do you believe that? Jesus shamed Satan at the cross. He mocked the devil. He humiliated Satan. Now, Hebrews chapter 2, read the underlying portions with me. Through death, Jesus might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Now, here we go. Brothers and sisters, the battle is still raging, but the war has already been won. Satan was defeated emphatically at the cross of Christ. Now, Satan is still on the attack. He's been deeply wounded. He's like an old, ravenous, rabid pit bull on a leash. He can bite, he can snap, he can attack, but he's on a leash. And Satan has no authority over your life. You, believer, have authority over him, the word says. Child of God, Ephesians 2:6 says, you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places above all the principalities and all the powers of darkness. As sure as Jesus has authority over the demons, you have authority over the demonic in Jesus' name. So if you're coming under attack, you speak the name of Jesus and the enemy must flee. He has no choice because he has no authority over your life. If you're a child of God, listen, Satan can't touch you without divine permission from the Lord Jesus. Satan had to ask God before he could mess with Job. Satan had to ask God before he could mess with Peter. So child of God, don't you live in fear. Don't you walk around with your head down in defeat. We've read the end of the book. Jesus wins. The last thing the devil will see is the bottom of Jesus' foot as Christ smashes him into the lake of fire forever. Child of God, don't you be afraid. Now, you want a good passage of scripture to memorize this year? A good warfare passage? Psalm 121. Read the underlying portions with me. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. If you believe that, say amen. All right, we're going to sing a song of victory against the enemy to the glory of Christ. But first, we got to pray. How do you fight the enemy? Primarily through the word and through prayer. Verse 18, pray at all times in the spirit with every prayer and request and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. The most powerful way to stand is by getting on your knees in prayer. So we're going to engage in spiritual warfare right now by praying. You're going to see some prompts on the screens you can pray through. They'll also be in your program if you prefer that. You can pray in yourself or by yourself in your seat. You can pray in small groups. You can come down here to the front, which is what I would encourage you to do. We'll have our ministry team members, if y'all want to come down on the walls under the screens. If you need prayer, if your family's under attack right now, if you're living in fear, we have men and women that would love to pray over you. Look, if we knew a killer was coming for our house tonight, we'd all be down here on our knees praying God's protection over our family. The word of God says a killer is coming. Church, let's fight him on our knees. All right, let's enter into a time of prayer now.
Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.